Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the third quarter and 9 months ended FY23 earnings conference call of Chalet Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now turn the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi, MD and CEO, Chalet Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sethi.
Thank you, ma'am. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure to be with you again. Allow me to begin with a couple of updates on some lead indicators that affect the hotel business. Air traffic in the country is still shy of the pre-pandemic levels. Domestic travel continues to be robust. However, recovery in foreign travel is still around the 80% mark for Q3 of FY20. In the recent weeks, e-visas have been reactivated by the Government of India. Direct flights from Mumbai, Bangalore and Delhi to US have resumed. A new international airport in Goa has been opened and a new terminal at Bangalore has been inaugurated. All this will create enabling tailwinds for foreign inward travel. The hospitality industry in US and select EU markets has shown strong growth in rates and recovery in occupancies. India has also witnessed similar performances in the month of November. The industry report published by HVS and ROC for November indicates 7-9% growth in ADRs in India when compared to November 2019. For Chalet Hotels Limited, Q3 has been the strongest quarter till date, with historical bests in average room rates, room revenues and F&B revenues. Average room rates grew by 11% from 2019 levels to ₹10,168 to clock the highest portfolio average room rates post the global financial crisis. The portfolio average has continued to be over the 10,000 rupee mark from November till date. The quarter, however, had a bit of a slow start as the month of October had two large festival holidays impacting over half the month for business travel. A very strong performance in November and the first 3 weeks of December led to a recovery on the back of strong growth of business travel, a robust wedding season, and surge in MICE events. Occupancy for the quarter was 65%, largely drawn down by October performance, leading to a RevPAR of ₹6,640. Overall, the hospitality business posted the highest ever revenue at ₹2.65 billion, up 6% from Q3 FY20 and 19% sequential growth. Room nights and domestic segments were higher by 53% versus 2019, while the foreign traveler recovery is at 70%. The foreigner mix has, however, gone up from 33% in the previous quarter to 41% in Q3. The F&B business contributed 34% of the total hospitality revenue, recording a strong performance backed by robust social and MICE events. F&B revenue grew in the mid-teens during November and December compared to the same period of FY20. The quarter was up by 9% as compared to 2019. EBITDA for hospitality division was ₹1.1 billion. We had some lumpy costs under refurbishment, raw material and other areas. However, the segment managed a robust 41% EBITDA margin. This in spite of 121 rooms at Hawaii being out of action due to renovations. The consolidated revenue for the quarter was ₹3.2 billion with an EBITDA of ₹1.5 billion. The EBITDA margin for the quarter at 45% was encouraging. This is before adjusting for other income. And this is the highest revenue in EBITDA for the company till date. Milind will, of course, take you through some numbers in detail shortly. A quick update on the project pipeline, starting with the hospitality project pipeline at Westin Powai. Now only 29 out of the 600 rooms are left to be renovated. The rest of the renovated rooms are in the process of being handed over to the hotel team as we speak. And the response to the renovated product at the Westin Powai is extremely positive. Handover process for the additional 88 rooms in Novotel Pune has also commenced. At the Westin 2, the second Westin in Hyderabad Mindspace with 168 rooms, we expect it to be commissioned in phases starting Q1 of FY24. The proposed five-star hotel at Terminal 3, Delhi Airport, is on schedule. In the rental and annuity part of the business, the new commercial tower in Bengaluru, handover to the first tenant for fit-outs has already commenced. Further handover to prospective tenants can be done from March. Work at the mall being converted to office space in Bengaluru has picked up pace and can be handed over to prospective tenants for fit-outs in Q1 of FY24. The new office tower at Powai in Mumbai will be ready to be handed over to prospective tenants from April of this year. So as you can see, there's a lot of coming into play of the capex spends that we were having over the last few years, where we start seeing now revenue opportunities starting sometime in the quarter one of next year. The conversion of the Accenture Learning Center building at Bengaluru to rooms is at design stage. This will add another 140 rooms at the Marriott Whitefield. On the residential tower or a residential project at Koramangala, Bengaluru, we've received the final construction approval from BBMP. This allows us to construct as per a revised plan. We also applied for the RERA renewal with revised plans, which will allow us to commence fresh sales. The project work at site is on schedule. We continue to have a strong focus on all our ESG commitments. Besides what we've already shared with you in the past, we recently collaborated with IFC to initiate a forum of human resource leaders to brainstorm and execute strategies to help us improve gender diversity in our hotels. Ladies and gentlemen, while our operating portfolio is backed with strong performances, we are really excited about the expansion plans of the company, which will lead to step-up growth for Chalet Hotels in the quarters and years to come. We will keep you updated on the same on a regular basis. I now hand over to Milind to take you through the numbers for Q3.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let me now take you through financials in some more details. Starting with hospitality, quarter three saw strong business activity led by Mumbai, Hyderabad and Pune. Three of our properties, JW Marriott at Saha, 4 points by Sheraton at Vashi, and Novotel Pune, reported the best quarterly and YTD performances till date. Revenue from the hospitality segment was at 2.65 billion for the quarter, higher by 6% from pre-pandemic levels, and EBITDA was at 1.1 billion, higher by 0.3%, making the performance best till date. The segment reported margins of 41% despite having 120 rooms under renovation and out of action in Powai complex. Long-term strategic initiatives like rebranding of Westin Powai Hotel, addition of rooms at Pune and Hyderabad will give scale of operations and improve margins over the next few quarters. For two of our major cost heads for hospitality, that is payroll cost was at 12% of the revenue in quarter three as compared to 15% in FY20, and utility cost as a percentage of revenue was steady at 6% as against 7% for FY20. The food and beverages segment reported healthy growth. Revenue grew by 9% in quarter three FY23 to 894 million versus 818 million in quarter three FY20. Rental and annuity segment contributed 8% of total revenue for the company. The revenue and EBITDA from the segment were at 244 and rupees 198 million for the quarter respectively. On a consolidated basis, reported revenue for the quarter under discussion was at 3.2 billion, which was higher by 13% as compared to Q3 FY20, led by strong recovery in rates and healthy F&B revenue. Revenue adjusted for one-time gain of 263 million was at 3 billion, higher by 4% as compared to Q3 FY20. During the quarter, the company has accounted for rupees 263 million as other income on account of change in the estimated cash flow for redemption of 0% NCPRS with respect to the Koramangala project. Consolidated EBITDA was at 1.5 billion, up by 22% for the same quarter of FY20. EBITDA adjusted for one-time gain was at 1.2 billion, largely in line with Q3 FY20. During the quarter, the company received approval from BBMP for modified development plan for Koramangala project. Accordingly, a reversal of provision for interest in relation to potential cancellation for the flats above 10th floor amounting to rupees 605 million has been disclosed as an exceptional income. PBT was at 1.4 billion versus 0.2 billion in the sequential quarter. Profit after tax was at 1 billion and EPS not annualized stood at rupees 4.99 per share. For 9 months, consolidated revenue was at 8.3 billion, higher by 8% over same period of FY20, led by strong performance by the hospitality segment. Effective cost management has resulted in EBITDA growth of 17% to 3.4 billion. Excluding the one-time gain, the revenue and EBITDA stood at rupees 8.1 billion and rupees 3.2 billion and margin stood at 39.2 versus 37.7 in the pre-pandemic same period. PBT was at 2 billion and not annualized EPS was at rupees 7.15 for 9 months of FY23. Net debt of the company for March 22 to December 22 was marginally higher by only rupees 0.4 billion to 22.7 billion, while the company spent rupees 3.3 billion on capex during reported 9 months. It was largely funded by internal accruals. Here I would like to highlight that the interest cost for Chalet as of December 22 was at 8.43%, which has moved up by 91 bps in the first 9 months of FY23. This is against the backdrop of upward policy rate revision of 225 basis points by RBI during the same period. However, given the recent CPI trends and RBI's stance on interest rate scenario is softening, and we believe the interest rate scenario along with cool-off in commodity prices is expected to boost corporate earnings going forward. Capex and funding. The company has capex plan of rupees 6.1 billion till FY24, that is for the next 15 months. This excludes capex for proposed second commercial tower in Powai, where we are seeking approvals. Business is well funded with internal accruals and available lines of credit. We have cash and cash equivalent of 0.8 billion as of December 22 and rupees 5.8 billion available lines of credit for general corporate purpose and planned capex. These investments are expected to generate revenue over next 3-4 quarters and free up the balance sheet. There has been no new subscription from promoters on 0% non-convertible redeemable preference shares during the quarter under review. The total subscription stands at 2000 million as of December 22. Let's open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may enter star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset while asking a question. This is required to ensure optimum audio quality on the call. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a question on our pricing strategy. So if I look at our ARR, it is roughly 11% higher than the pre-pandemic base, but our occupancy is roughly 10% lower. And hence the recovery in RevPAR is still lagging as such. So I wanted to understand whether a higher price is acting as a deterrent to occupancy and what is our strategy when it comes to achieving a fine balance between both these factors. I basically thought of asking this question is because the price hike which has been taken by us is actually not resulting in the consequent RevPAR jump, so to say, which is still 3% lower.
Thank you, Dinesh, for the question. I'm glad you asked that because it gives us an opportunity to clarify. Look, whether we'd kept the rates less aggressive than where we are or not, I don't think it would have resulted in higher RevPAR or revenue. The periods when you have holidays, especially in our portfolio of assets, irrespective of what your pricing is, people don't come because the business travel doesn't happen in those periods. So we'd rather follow the rate route right now. I think this is set a benchmark for rates for the market. It'll drive up the rates within the market, and once we have the rate positioning right, occupancies will come. Having said that, again, I'm reiterating that if we had kept the rates any lower, doesn't mean that we would have got higher occupancies, purely on account of the 18 days that we had the holiday period during October. And then we had a good period from 1st December to 17th December, but then after 17th December, occupancies fell again due to the Christmas New Year's holidays. So, 14 here, 18 there, 32 days out of 90 odd days gone, irrespective of what the rates were, occupancies wouldn't have been up. And you've got to remember the RevPAR is also lower because you're still counting in the 2019, the full inventory at Powai available, whereas 121 rooms were under renovation at Powai. And this RevPAR has come on the back of that reduction in inventory. But we account for it on the RevPAR calculation.
Sure, sir. That was pretty elaborative. My second question is with respect to the leasing traction for our NUT project. I think we have some 1 million square feet that would come up for leasing in Bangalore in the next 3 to 4 months, as we have highlighted in your opening remarks. So can you share what is the progress on signing and what proportion of area has actually been leased out so far?
Okay, Jinesh, so I think the leasing traction at Bangalore and at Powai shouldn't be a challenge. 3 floors out of the 11 have already been leased out in Bangalore. The same company is likely to take one more floor. As per the leasing update that we have, by December of December of 23, we would have leased out the whole new IT building. And by March of 24, even the mall, which is getting converted to office, would be leased out. So that's the estimate that we have from our leasing team. As far as Powai is concerned, they're expecting a fairly fast ramp up moment the building is ready for a show run. No major concerns on the leasing side on any of these two offices. In fact, the recent report that came out, I think in the Economic Times of India, just about 4 or 5 days, has given the demand dynamics of office space in various cities in India. And Mumbai has come out strongest, rather Bangalore's come out strongest, followed by Mumbai. So these two cities clearly are the top two cities for office space leasing in India today. And both our assets are leased to space locations.
Sure, sir. One last question from my side. I think in the opening remarks, we mentioned that the promoter contribution towards Koramangala remains constant at about 200 crores. But I think in the result release, we have mentioned that additional 35 crores has been given out by directors as an interest-free loan towards the project. So does it mean that the total promoter contribution right now is at 235 crores and not 200 crores?
Let me come in. Chinesh, see, promoters have subscribed to preference shares of rupees 200 crores. They are committed to fund entire project expenditure of Koramangala. Now we have taken 35 crore rupees interest-free loans from promoters. So contribution from promoters as of today total is 235 crores. But for preferentials it is 200 crores and interest-free loans it is 35 crores.
Both are interest-free. Yeah, but on the pref share side, it is 200 crores and the new loan is 35 crores. This is basically to kickstart the project because the project will be self-financing the moment we start our sales process.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So what's one clarification regarding the previous question? So you said that despite, you know, the pricing strategy, the occupancy would have been same. Even if you would have given a lower pricing to clients, the occupancy would have been 55%. But if I compare it with, you know, pre-COVID levels during this quarter, we used to do somewhere around 65-66%, which is still, you know, 10 percentage points below the past. So is it largely because of the corporate recovery still weak? That's why the occupancy is where it is. And secondly, any color you can give on overall corporate bookings, when we can see them going back to pre-COVID level, maybe somewhere in the second half. Any color around that would be great.
Sure. So look, I think it's driven, the occupancy impact was driven by, as I said, the multiple holidays in October, and then of course the typical, which is an annual phenomena, the second half of December. This time the holidays got bunched up in October for both Diwali and Dashera, and you can add, if you add Ashtami and Bhaidush, it became quite a few holidays. The second thing on the occupancy side that was dragging it down was the foreign travel is still not full back to full steam, and Marriott Whitefield, which is very heavily relying on foreign travel, has had a slower start than the rest of the portfolio. And I want to reiterate again, if we had reduced the prices or kept the prices lower, we would probably not have reached the RevPAR that we have. So the strategy has actually paid off. And I think to a large extent, this is a long, mid to long-term game in play here, that we want to reposition the hospitality industry in India to fair pricing, which is clearly higher rates than where we were in the recent years.
Sure, thank you. And one last question. I mean, overall, you know, what we are hearing is that corporate rate negotiation has gone really well for most of the hotels. So is it fair to assume that pricing next quarter should be, you know, actually much better than what we have achieved, which is already all-time high, barring, you know, if we look at the current portfolio we have. Is it a fair understanding? And that's about it. Thanks.
You know, what's going to happen is that the ADRs that we experienced of 10,000 plus is driven by, whilst they were off periods, they were also peak periods during this period. First November to third week of December was high peak periods, which meant people went to retail rates to get the rates. The increase in prices for the contracted accounts is clearly higher. As I explained in the last call, that we have taken the strategy of staying away from or avoiding as much as possible on the last room available to corporates, which allows us to maybe give competitive pricing but not give them rooms on at high occupancy periods, which will mean that they'll have to go to retail pricing at that period to book rooms. I think it's going to pay off. Our current all indicators point towards improvement in rates and occupancies should be back on in periods when we don't have holidays.
That's about it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may enter star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So can you talk about the Bangalore market, the occupancy in Q3 was lower. So how, what was the key reason and how things are improving there?
So I think Bengaluru, if you look at the numbers over here, occupancy for our hotels for this quarter was only 50%. That is again driven largely by holidays and the fact that during Christmas and New Year's, foreigners don't travel, and they tend to air out a lot earlier than everyone else. And Bengaluru's reliance on foreign travel is much higher. The fact that it's now got connected with international flights or direct flights to U.S. both East Coast and West Coast, we expect that to pick up very sharply. We're happy that we are able to now reposition the hotel at the 9,500 rupee price point in the last quarter, which is very close to where we were in Q3 of 20. Confident that in the coming months and coming quarters, this hotel will do extremely well. Bengaluru has had dynamics of three or four micro markets that come into play in that city. City center has a little more perennial business around the year, so the hotels that are in that city center area get less affected by dips and valleys and peaks. Then there is the market at the Outer Ring Road or Marathali area, Shajapur area, which again is very heavily relying on IT, but this is the first to pick up when the IT picks up. And then there is the Whitefield market, where we have the advantage of lesser number of rooms compared to where we the other markets, and we are taking advantage of this position. And the fourth one is the Electronic City, which is the eastern, southeastern side of the back of Bangalore, which picks up last. In our view, we think Bangalore will come back to previous performances very soon. And we are not taking a short view on this, whilst we understand that in the short term, this has dragged the portfolio down a bit. In the mid to long term, we are very confident Bangalore will add seriously to the portfolio.
Do you think the occupancy, our company level occupancy will reach at the pre-pandemic level in the coming quarter?
I can't give you exact numbers, but yes, there's no reason why we'll not be hitting the pre-pandemic occupancies.
Okay. So how the foreign mix reached at the pre-pandemic level in the Q4, and what is the current level?
So
the foreign customer mix?
Yeah, so on the foreign customer mix, as I said, the flights have just been announced. Some of them have started. Some are starting from March. Air India has announced multiple flights to East and West Coast. So it will take a little while of time to get the impact in place. But I think this quarter will be a good quarter for Hyderabad and Bangalore.
Any color on corporate rate hike negotiated price?
It's very difficult to average that out because each customer or client is treated with in a different fashion depending on the volume of business, etc. But yeah, we expect healthy growth from the average room rates on the corporate side.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So just wanted to understand from a longer term perspective, how do we see ourselves in terms of the mix between our hospitality revenue and commercial revenue over a longer term, say maybe 3-4 years down the line?
So, you know, what's going to happen, Pradyumna, is that over the next 3 or 4 years, there will be some increase in the share of office revenues, commercial revenues, because there are a couple of large assets coming into play now. On the hospitality side, we'll see some addition of a few 100 to 250 odd rooms this year, in the coming year, and the rest a little longer it will take. But by the time we reach fourth, fifth year from now, there'll be stability on the office side, and the growth should kick off on hospitality side fairly aggressively. Overall, we expect maybe about 75% of the business revenue is still coming from hospitality at its lowest, and roughly around 65 to 70% of the EBITDA coming from hospitality. But then that will turn the tide because by then we would have exhausted all the land that's available for office assets.
Okay. Okay. So, beyond that, the focus still remains on the hospitality side, but maybe opportunistic forays into commercial ones beyond what we already have planned.
Yeah, so then also just to sort of take you back a little bit, our whole entry into office was driven by sweating our real estate assets that we had. And I've given an example on multiple calls that, for example, at JW Sahar, where we have almost 600 rooms, we could have built 1,200, but that would have killed the market, you know, made our asset unviable. So we decided to sweat the asset in a more realistic fashion, where we kept the room count at a little under 600 rooms, but we sweated the rest of the FSI and the potential of the land through building complementary assets on the office side, which then creates demand for our hotels. And on the reverse side, the hotel branding creates a halo effect for rental premiums on the office side. So it became complementary, and we are able to sweat the real estate part of it. But once we get done with Powai, Sahar, and the Bangalore real estate assets, we really don't have any more land lying with us, which we can monetize through any more office assets. What happens in future is a little unpredictable. If you get a large parcel of land, we may still do a mixed use. I'm not saying that we won't. We'll do what is best for the company. But primarily, reiterating, we are a hotel company, and that's the growth focus for us.
All right, understood. And secondly, the management contracts that we have with the like with Marriott and Accor. So, what is the tenure of these contracts?
They range from 10 to 12 to 20 years. Actually, a couple of them had expired a couple of years back. We renewed the Hyderabad one. We used that opportunity to upwardly move the branding for Powai from Renaissance to Westin, which is two notches up. And we've got 4 points by Sheraton, whose contract has expired, but we've got an extension, and we're sort of working on the strategy on how to reposition that asset.
If I were to ask you here, like in terms of the most of many other hotel companies, they're going asset light. So I believe we stand in a good ground, right? Like because there'll surely be demand for our portfolio, even if some of these contracts expire, right? Like, is it a point of strength or a point of weakness in case there's any contract which is nearing expiry?
So
how do you see it?
Great question, Pradyumna. So, I think, yes, you're right. There's an opportunity there. And I think it's a point of strength because the asset is ours, right? We can go either ways that we want. We are the one who have the control on that. And at some point of time, if we decide to create our own brand, that creates an opportunity for us to run our hotels on our own brand, and then maybe if we create the brand, run some hotels for other owners also. But that's an option open to us. We study those options and we look at what the right strategy for us is. Right now, we are very focused on delivering some of the assets that we're developing. At the same time, we are building capabilities of running our hotels. As you know, we've got the 4 points by Sheraton on franchise. We run the resort in Mud Island, we've got the Hyatt Regency that is to be built on franchise, and the Delhi Airport Hotel of 400 rooms that we're building is also on a franchise arrangement. So clearly we are developing our own in-house operating capabilities. The brand is just one step further from there.
All right. Thank you so much. That's really helpful.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Nihal Mahesh Jham from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Good evening.
Mr. Jham, I'm sorry to interrupt. If you're on speakerphone, can you please use your handset?
Am I audible?
We're getting a lot of disturbance on the background noise, Nihal. Do you want to come back in the queue in a bit?
I'll do that, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. My first question is on your cost. So you mentioned about some lumpy cost continuing your business so can you quantify that number and what could be this number like going forward as well?
Yeah, I'll have asked Milind to sort of look up that number, but you know, I think let me just dwell a little bit more on those costs that I was talking about. On the repairs and maintenance side, because for those two and a half years that we had of the pandemic period, we had held back some costs and we sort of getting the hotels back in full shape. So the FF&E costs that were to be incurred during that period were deferred, and they are now being consumed. In the Indian accounting system, we have to move them from FF&E cost to P&L cost, and that's what's happened. That's one. Second is, with the demand going up and the rates going up so aggressively, it's extremely important that we put our A game forward. So we've reassessed our requirement for repositioning the hotels, even from a quality perspective, and so we put in some money on behind that. The third area was on the raw material side of hotels. We've had a little bit of an increase on cost percentages to revenue in food and beverage, and that's driven by a slight impact of the inflation that we are all facing at this point of time. And also we need to probably tighten our belts on some of the control systems internally to get that right. So these are the areas that we're working on. I must highlight that Milind already mentioned that we've been able to bring the two largest costs down. On payroll costs, which is the largest operating cost in our business, we're down to 12%, which is a very healthy performance. And on the heat-like power or energy or utility costs, we're at 6%, which is again amongst the industry's best. Milind, do you have a number that you want to share?
So I think, our expenses were higher under two heads, primarily repairs and maintenance, which was higher by around 4 crore rupees for a quarter. If we compare it with the same quarter of FY20, and operating supplies we charge off to P&L, and then when we buy it, so with the increase in occupancy, some cost hit our P&L, that increase is around 3 crore rupees. But two major heads, we have reduced cost. On HLP side, same store basis, our HLP cost is lower by 6 crores for the 9 months as compared to 9 months of FY20.
I hope that answers the question for you. Yeah. Sorry.
Also, can you just revisit again, like you mentioned about like now still some rooms left for coming on board, like for Mumbai complex. So how many rooms are still expected to be renovated, and how, when is this whole 120 room expected to be operational?
So there are 600 rooms in that hotel and 173 serviced apartments. Out of the 600 rooms, 121 rooms were under renovation. That also meant that the floor under the 121 rooms was, you know, used carefully because we didn't want sound to disturb our guests. So in overall impact of 150 rooms for this quarter, those 121 rooms have been handed over to operation, and they're in the process of snagging and simulating those rooms to open them out to our guests. With that completion, and that'll be complete in the next couple of weeks, we'll be left with only 29 rooms. 29 keys that need to be renovated. We're not doing it right now because of the occupancy and demand period being high. We'll probably do it in off season now.
So for fourth quarter, these 120 rooms should be available for
about half the fourth quarter, because we're already at the end of January, and it'll take another couple of weeks for them to be activated. So we're saying by second week of February, they should be all back in action.
Right. One more question regarding Bangalore market and general on urban consumption. Is there any trend on like some slowdown because of general IT slowdown in terms of global environment and impacting business, particularly in terms of maybe Bangalore or some other markets in terms of urban consumption because of impact on startup industry and IT industry?
Not that we've noticed, because whilst you see that the Bangalore occupancies are lower, the dates when we didn't have the holidays, the occupancies were very high, and so were the rates. So we believe that the demand continues to be strong. It is just the holiday season that affected the occupancies and the rates during this period. And again, I want to repeat that the direct US flights will make a lot of difference to Bangalore.
So January should be trending like November in that.
So January, from 9th January onwards, is expected to trend like November. Because the first week again is a slow week, because people just come back post New Year's holidays. 7th and 8th were the weekends. So it's post that the kick-in happens.
Okay. And one last question on transient trade. So there will be some portion which of your business which will be obviously tied to like long-term rates or contractual rates.
Yeah.
So is this transient trades also benefiting significantly on your, like, reported rates? Because
Yes, they are. In fact, that's what's. So the transient contracts is what is driving our rates overall up. One, first level is the contracting that has been done at higher rates. Second, because if you haven't signed up a large delta on the rate side, the accounts or the companies don't get the last room available benefit, in which case they're forced to go to the retail rates, and retail rates are significantly higher than any contracted rates.
All right. That answers it. Thanks for all the answers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, participants who have a question may enter star one at this time. There are no further. I'm sorry. We have a question from the line of Rajiv Bharati from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Can you spell out what is the 330 crore CapEx in the 9 months, piece-wise, where it was, and for Q4, how much is due? And remaining the 610 crore, similar thing, where it is going towards?
Sure. I'll let Milind answer that question. Go ahead, Milind.
Yeah, Pratik, out of this 330 crore, the major spend was for commercial office space, which we are building in Powai Phase 3 and Bangalore. We have spent some amount on Westin Hotel, new Westin Hotel at Hyderabad, and there was some normal repairs and maintenance CapEx, which we have incurred.
Sir, is it possible to quantify the big pieces here? Let's say Westin Hyderabad.
180 crore rupees was for Powai Phase 3.
Okay.
70 crore rupees was for Bangalore, and the balance was for hotel projects and hotel repairs and renovation.
There are two hotel projects underway, the Novotel Pune with 88 more rooms and the 168 room Hyderabad hotel.
Okay. And a similar trajectory, something like 80 crore will be due for Q4 as well?
Our CapEx for next 15 months will be around 600 crore rupees. Out of 600 crore rupees, 340 crore rupees will be on commercial office space. Hotel side will be spending around 150, and renovation projects will be spending around 125 crore.
Sure. And to the previous participant's question, which is the payroll and the utility cost on the non-hospitality business, where it is inching up, till what time should we, let's say, for modeling sake, this will continue at this pace?
So, in our payroll cost, we have accounted for ESOP expenses, which is, as per accounting standards. So now, with this, run rate, it will average it out now, and, there won't be any major increase in-
We don't see any increase happening, unusual increase happening on that front, Rajiv.
So, the payroll expenses on the non-hospitality side, basically, I subtracted the employee cost minus the, let's say, the hospitality piece. That number was 3.5 crore in Q1, then 6 crore, then 7.6 crore. So I just wanted to know, is this stabilized now at 7.6, or it is going to inch up, or for modeling sake, should we take, let's say-
So out of 7.6 crore rupees, 3.5 crore rupees are ESOP expenses. So expenses are almost flat quarter-on-quarter basis. So if you take out ESOP expenses, which we started accounting in last two quarters, the expenses are flat.
Sure. And similarly, on the utility side, so is it correct to do, let's say, other expenses minus the hospitality utilities, and that trajectory is basically 68, 75, 82 crores. And you said that this is linked to occupancy. So if occupancy holds up, this number should not come down, right?
It is around 6% of revenue, but...
No, I'm talking about non-hospitality.
Yes, you're right.
So non-hospitality, yes, there will be some increases as office occupancies go up. But remember that we charge this off to the tenants. So, concurrently, the CAM charges will be charged.
So these are pass-throughs.
Yeah.
So only CAM, common area maintenance charges, for non-occupied portion will hit our P&L. Otherwise, it will be passed through and we'll recover it from tenants.
And as and when this, let's say the dial thing opens up, do you require manpower to be deployed in the next, to be employed, which are not there in the system as of now? As and when it, before the...
Very minimal, Rajiv. Maybe some, for the sake of supervision of the project on site for the near future. Nothing else, because the shell, remember, is being built by dial. It's a shell lease to us. So the initial... next 1.5 years are largely going to go towards building the shell out. Our involvement will really come after that. At that point of time, we'll have a project team, but most of the project costs are kept separately, and we've provided for them in our capital budget. In terms of manning the hotel, I think we'll probably start with very few people 6 months before opening and then build up a team to come to the opening point. But in the near future, we don't see any addition happening. In any case, we will continue to stay disciplined on our people-to-room ratios and make sure the productivity and levels are really high.
Yeah, project team salary will be capitalized and it forms part of the capital cost of the project.
This is right. I see.
Mr. Nihal Mahesh Cham,
your
line has been unmuted. If you have a question, please go ahead.
Yes, am I audible?
Yes, you are, sir.
Yes, thank you so much. Sir, I had one question on the Bangalore market performance.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand you highlighted about there being the impact of holidays, which I think is a phenomenon in Q3 of every year in a way. So if I have to compare the Bangalore market's pre-COVID occupancy versus this one, would you attribute the lower occupancy primarily, say, to lesser number of foreign guests coming in? Because you've alluded to that fact quite a lot in the discussion.
So two things, as I said earlier, it is a combination of the holidays. With the Diwali and Dashera both being midweek, and because both these holidays impact foreigners coming in here, because they know there's very little work that happens in Bangalore, and Dashera is a big ticket event in Bangalore, and both happened on the same month. That's what impacted the month. And of course, the foreign travel not being back to normal as yet, it did impact it a bit. But the periods where in the same month when we had a clear period, we saw the occupancies go extremely high and the rates were very high also. So I think it's more of a phenomenon of the holiday than the majority of the impact coming from foreign travelers.
That's helpful. And just a last related follow-up was that overall, if you look at across your properties and for the market, fair to say that the domestic corporate travel for you has more or less completely come back, and foreign travel, as you said, is something that you expect currently at 70-80%, inches back to 100%. Is that the right situation in the market in terms of overall corporate recovery?
Yeah, so I think the reality today is that domestic business travel is actually 53% higher than pre-pandemic.
Okay.
And the foreign travel is at 70% of pre-pandemic. And that combined together is leading to what the results we're getting. We believe as international travel comes in, it'll lead to natural movement towards high-paying guests, whichever segment they come from, to make sure we optimize our revenues.
Got that. That's very helpful. Thank you so much. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Our next question is a follow-up from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So just another question related to basically how do we go, like what criteria do we have when we choose to go for a project in terms of the kind of range of IRR or return or payback period we normally target?
Sure. So, Pradyumna, in terms of hotel projects, we look at two or three metrics, actually. One, of course, is the overall project IRR, and there we look at mid-teens and upwards. On equity IRRs, we look at 20 and upwards. On the return on capital employed in the third year, which is a stable year, we look at least 12%. And the fourth one is that it has to be NPV accretive for us. So these are the four parameters that we look at. We also, of course, look at various other parameters like depth of market, the ability to run an efficient operations, the size of the competition, and all of that. But the key financial parameters that we look at are the first four that I shared with you earlier.
Pradyumna, Milidhar, we also look at whether it is EPS accretive or not in a stabilizer.
All right. So basically the IRR, equity IRR, ROCE, what was the number you said?
So we said at the third year, which is the first stable year, full year, we look at least 12% EBIT by capital employed.
Okay, understood. And I understand that right now we only have a commercial portfolio in terms of only work hotels, like no leisure. And previously, I think you guys have mentioned that you will be open to having something in Goa or somewhere. So, what is the idea, over the longer term? Again, is it something where we look at a more diversified mix, or is it something where it would be, again, more focused on the non-leisure side?
So, our strategy, mid-term strategy right now, is to diversify the portfolio, get some leisure assets in. We do believe that the majority of the assets will continue to be in the big city, big box hotels. But we do want maybe 25-30% of the room inventory coming from leisure. So we de-risk ourselves from cycles where business travel doesn't happen. And add to that the diversification of the asset class, which is the office side of the business, which allows us steady annuity income. So that combined together will, I think, give us the ideal mix.
All right. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Hi. So just one thing, just trying to understand that after, all the commercial portfolio coming in, maybe, but we would be exhausting most of our land parcel and then maybe airport property. But how should we growth beyond that, maybe after FY26 or after? I know maybe Delhi property will come maybe a year later, but how should we look at our strategy or growth after exhausting the land parcel?
Sure. So because we are a growth oriented company, and just because we finished the current pipeline of project doesn't mean that we're not going to look for more projects. Our balance sheet will enable us to deploy more capital in not too distant a future. And we'd like to look for more opportunities to grow the portfolio. As I said, in terms of the mix of the assets that we'd like, we think business hotels at the upper upscale luxury positioning in big cities are probably going to be the sweet spot for us. We will get a leisure portfolio in play at some point of time, and the business, the office assets will be there. In addition to that, if we get any M&A opportunities in the market from a platform of hotels, we are open to considering those also. Right now, there's nothing that we think which is viable, but if that comes our way, we would like to look at that. Let me sum it up by saying that the growth, which will be practical but aggressive as a strategy, will continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi for closing comments.
Thank you so much. Before we end, we'd like all of us here would like to wish you and your dear ones a brilliant 2023, and we look forward to engaging with you more this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Chalet Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.